In Juneau, I'm Pablo Arauz Peña with your state and local news update. Alaska Republican candidates and conservative causes did well in early results reported on election night, but with most ballots still to be counted, the outcomes of most highly contested races remained unclear. Republican U.S. Senator Dan Sullivan led Al Gross, an independent nominated by the Democrats, and Republican U.S. Representative Don Young led Elise Galvin, who's also a Democratic-nominated independent. Ballot Measure 1, which would increase the taxes paid by major North Slope oil companies, was losing. Ballot Measure 2, which would overhaul Alaska's elections, was also losing, but by a much smaller margin. Every state judge, including Alaska Supreme Court Justice Susan Carney, had received more than 50% of the votes counted so far in order to be retained. Every Republican running for a seat in the legislature that's currently held by the party led in early returns. Some Democratic incumbent legislators were trailing. Anchorage Representative Chris Tuck trailed by the largest margin of any incumbent, more than 500 votes behind Republican challenger Kathy Hensley. Democrats expect to do better with results that are counted next week, but it's not clear if they will gain enough ground to retain seats like Tuck's, let alone pick up additional seats. Here in Juneau, in Alaska House District 34, incumbent Democratic Representative Andy Story holds a 14-point lead over independent challenger Ed King. That lead only reflects the 5,400 ballots cast in person on Election Day. At least 3,700 more early and absentee ballots remain to be counted. The seat represents the Mendenhall Valley, Auk Bay, and Out the Road. Story shared her outlook on the race Tuesday night after the in-person vote tally came in.
Thanks for everybody who voted. I'm really excited. I'm hopeful. We do have a lot of votes, absentee votes out. So we're not going to know the final results till next week. But I'm very grateful for the support that I've received.
Her opponent, Ed King, says it's not looking good for him, but with so many votes to be counted still, anything is possible. Outside the polling site at the Mendenhall Valley Public Library on Tuesday, Stephen Eschnauer explained why he voted for Story.
I just appreciate everybody that participated in the election. Andy did a great job running her campaign. We've also tried to just stay positive and run on merits, and it just ultimately comes down to what the voters decide.
Story has proposed the state issue new bonds through a ballot question for infrastructure, especially road, marine, highway, and airport projects that federal dollars can largely pay for. King's top campaign issue is the state's fiscal crisis. He argued that his professional credentials as an economist who has worked in three different governor's administrations is a better fit. Myron Davis voted for King at the Nugget Mall on Tuesday. He says getting an in-person visit helped win him over. In the neighboring House District 33, incumbent Democratic Representative Sarah Hannon was uncontested. She represents downtown Juneau, Douglas, Excursion Inlet, Gustavus, Haines, and Skagway. In other news, the Petersburg School Board adopted a new policy requiring COVID testing for staff and students returning from in-state travel. The school board made the decision at a special meeting on Monday night. KFSK's Angela Denning reports.
The state does not require testing for in-state travel, so the Petersburg School District decided to come up with its own policy for staff and students. The policy mirrors the state's mandate for out-of-state travel, requiring 5 days of isolation in addition to at least one negative test result. Superintendent Erica Klutpainter said she supported the new requirement because of the rising COVID numbers around the state.
Everything we're doing is trying to do the best, very best that we can to keep our kids in school. And it's not perfect. This is not perfect. I keep thinking of it as a sieve, a little colander. There are still little leaks all over the place, but we're doing the very best we can, you know, with the information we have.
The policy is for travel by any means off Metcalfe Island, by plane, boat, or ferry. It strongly recommends a second test after 1 week of isolation, but it's not required for returning to school. There is also an option for a 2-week quarantine instead of testing. Initially, board member Jay Lister wasn't sold on the policy because he said he didn't want to confuse the public with more rules.
I worry a little bit about the confusion. You got all these different travel restrictions from all these different places, and you're trying to figure out who's supposed to quarantine and where.
Mm-hmm.
So you got six different set of rules, and you're trying to figure out how in the heck you're supposed to.
Yep.
Board member Megan Litster said the policy would actually make it easier on people because all the travel requirements would be the same for in-state and out-of-state travel.
By us implementing this, it would actually smooth that out a little bit because it would make it consistent for the school across the board.
Board President Sarah Holmgren said she received a lot of feedback from the community supporting the new policy. She said she supported it because it would help keep the schools open. It could prevent problems if people aren't being careful.
You know, you had a whole family that left that had kids in multiple grades and didn't follow the protocols and came back in. And then you have potentially all three schools shut down.
The policy includes an exemption for travel under 72 hours, like the state's policy for out-of-state travel does. That addition helped gain the support of two school board members, Cheryl File and Katie Holmland, who were concerned about medical trips for staff and students. The 72-hour exemption would also cover short travel by school groups or others doing personal trips. Kluepainter said she did not think the school district should need to monitor small boat trips to nearby communities.
So if somebody is leaving to go on a hunting trip to Prince of Wales Island somewhere on their own boat, I'm not particularly interested in managing that.
The school board also discussed testing availability in Petersburg. Same-day rapid tests are limited to people with symptoms and some travelers. There is a shortage of rapid testing equipment all over the country, and the Petersburg Medical Center cannot get as much as it wants. PMC's other test results currently have a 3 to 5 day turnaround time. Asymptomatic testing through search on the weekends has a 4 to 5 day turnaround. The new school board policy is an administrative regulation, which means that it went into effect immediately and can be changed much quicker than regular board policies. The board plans to review it every few weeks. In Petersburg, I'm Angela Denning.
The state's top medical team says that communities which still have a relatively low case count should act conservatively when it comes to travel during the holiday season. KCAW's Robert Woolsey reports.
The state eased the mandate for travelers coming into Alaska effective October 16th and now requires only a single negative coronavirus test on arrival and 5 days of quarantine, rather than a negative test on arrival and another negative 7 days later. And Alaska residents, as before, can forego a test and just quarantine for 2 weeks. During a meeting with state media on October 29th, Alaska Chief Medical Officer Dr. Ann Zink said that no single tool could slow the spread of coronavirus. Rather, it was going to take several, and travel restrictions had proven useful.
So we've seen many communities be able to slow the spread of COVID into their community by travel and by restricting travel. And so that may be a test prior to entering. It may be a test required by a quarantine and then a test later. Each of these things has risk benefit. And then we've also seen it where people have relied on just one thing. So just relying on a test prior to coming in, someone comes in, mixes a lot, and suddenly you got a bunch of cases all at once. And so we need to create as many kind of speed bumps in COVID and travel, particularly for a community that does not have a lot of COVID right now, can be a successful tool in combination with other things, but can be a really useful tool. So it's going to be much more useful in a community like Sitka that doesn't have a lot of cases right now, but that can be built upon afterwards.
The reality is that people travel around the holidays. Sitka School Superintendent John Holst is recommending that the board adopt the stricter testing and quarantine standards used by the state prior to October 16th, although he knows it will be inconvenient for students and staff. Division of Public Health physician Dr. Liz Olson says that travel and gatherings are increasingly high-risk activities and that Sitkins should be conscientious about their potential exposure while they're on the road.
When people are making decisions to travel, particularly if they're making decisions to travel from somewhere that doesn't have a lot of cases to somewhere that does, and then coming back, you know, what you do while you're traveling and what you do, you know, in terms of where you're staying and who you're gathering with when you're there, all of these have really big impacts on the risk that you bring something home to your family, that you bring something home to your community.
All Alaskans returning from interstate travel are eligible for a free COVID test on arrival at the airport. Superintendent Holst says that should the school board adopt a policy reverting to the state's tighter standards, staff and students returning from holiday travel will be given a coupon to return to the airport for a second free test 7 days later. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
In related news, the Alaska Health Department says hospital capacity is a concern as COVID-19 cases rise, and testing isn't keeping pace with the new cases.